rejoices with your heart, and we're together joined, I pray, in one spirit and one mind to glorify God and to expound upon His wonderful, amazing, and powerful Word. We do have a lot of wind blowing out there, and it's supposed to get worse, so when you leave this building today, hang on to somebody. All right, well, you know, while the Reformation, you're familiar with that term, while the Reformation was roaring up, running on, it was a man named Martin Luther, who was the reformer. He had many, many dark and terrible days ahead of him, very dangerous periods in his life. And tradition teaches us that during these darkest of times that Luther would turn to his very trusted friend. His name was Philip Melanchthon. And he would say to his friend, "Let's sing Psalm 46 and let the devil do his worst." And tradition also claims that that was the very psalm that inspired the song that we just sang. A mighty fortress is our God. What a wonderful story. And when you look at Psalm 46 and Psalm 47 and Psalm 48, they create a trilogy of praise, inspiring, signaling, celebrating deliverance that Jerusalem enjoyed. They enjoyed this deliverance from their enemies. And what is wonderful about all of this news, what is actually just amazing, something that we should all be filled with joy, is that for every child of God, everybody that's obeyed the gospel, all the promises, the precepts, the understandings from Psalm 46, 47, and 48, they still apply. They apply to you and me. This psalm written of old applies to every child of God. And in our lesson today, we want to examine the Psalm 46 that begins with the words, "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble." What wonderful words. And we want to look at this. Three main points of our lesson today. Number one, that there's a powerful truth in all of this. God indeed is our refuge, and He's that way for all people. And that translates into confidence, and it translates into strength. We need never fear. Why do we need never fear? Because there's no better place that we can be than together, delivered in the presence of God. And thirdly, God's power is greater than all. And His final supremacy over all the nations is steadfast and sure. God truly is our refuge and our strength. And so we want to go on. The opening of this song, the psalmist expresses to us the marvelous truth, God's presence, God's power. They're with us through every trial, through every difficulty, through every storm, through every circumstance of life. Have you been delivered by the blood of Christ? Have you? Truly? Have you obeyed the gospel? Because if you have, I want you to know assuredly that there are two immutable things, things that cannot be changed, that because God is, number one, God is our refuge. That will never change in our stronghold. In Him we can always find safety. And number two, in Him we have been given strength. And with that strength we can face every uncertainty in life. And we want to chew on this for a little bit today. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed. Do you see that? in, through, and though the mountains are carried into the midst of the sea, and though its waters roar and are troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah. The question now here is when? When is God with us? When is He our refuge and our strength and our ever-present help in time of trouble? And the answer is very straightforward. It's whenever we need Him. When we need Him, are you listening? When we need God, He is going to be there. You lose your job. God is your refuge, strength, and a very present help in trouble. If you have health problems, God is your refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Is your spouse not the most perfect spouse in the world? Maybe you have, God is there. Are you facing death? God is there. Are you being persecuted because of your faith? God is your refuge and your strength. It doesn't matter what happens. You feel like the whole world is crashing down around you. The psalmist said, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, and though the waters be troubled, and though the mountains shake with the swelling, God is there. All these things that he describes, the worst possible scenario. The earth melts in a below our feet. God is there. I want you to think about Joseph in this. In Genesis chapter 50, if you'll remember, Joseph's father has died. Joseph's father's died, and his brothers now are afraid that Joseph, boy, they're afraid that Joseph is going to, maybe he's going to kill him. They're afraid that he won't have forgiveness. But you know what happened there in chapter 50 and verse 19? His brothers have fallen down on their face and they're going to be his servants. And Joseph says, "Do not be afraid, for I am in the place of God." All those trials that Joseph went through, his brothers hating him, being taken, and they wanted to kill him, and they put him in the pit to let him alone and die without food and water, and then they sold him into slavery, and all the things that happened, going to prison, being falsely accused, but God was with him. God was his refuge. God was his strength, and God was ever present when he needed him. And Joseph made the right choices because he loved God and he knew God would be with him. Think about Elijah. You know, he kills the prophets of Baal with the sword. And in 1 Kings chapter 19, Jezebel hears about it from Ahab. She swears she's going to kill him and he takes off running. And he says, "Oh Lord, that I just die. Let me die." When you think about Elijah, eventually you find out that he ended up in a cave. He was hiding in a cave. But you know what happened? A small voice, God, found him in that. "What are you doing here? You know, come out here and look." And the mighty winds roared and the fire. And God showed him his power. And he told him, "You are not alone." He reserved so many prophets around him. Elijah thought he was alone, but he wasn't. God was his refuge, not that cave. God was his strength. And God was ever present to help him. Think about David. David was hiding in a cave. Maybe you think for good reasons. David's being chased all over the countryside. Saul is seeking to kill David. And in 1 Samuel chapter 24 and verses 1 through 4, David is in constant danger. He's pursued by Saul. And he finds refuge in the shadows of this cave. His mind tells him that he has nowhere else to go. He can't go home to his family because Saul will find him and kill his family. He can't go to the priests in the tabernacle and hide there because Saul would kill the priests. He can't find safety anywhere. And from the deep darkness of that cave where God was, David realized, God is my refuge, not this cave. God is my strength, not this cave. And God is my ever-present help. And you know what he said in Psalm 57:1? Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me. For my soul trusts in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by. David knew God was his refuge. It just took him a minute. And be like David and know this is true. Do you think hiding in a cave can save you? Think again. Think about these five kings who run into a cave in Joshua chapter 10. They're hiding in this cave. And do you know what happens? Joshua finds out. He finds out that they're in that cave. And then what happens? He tells his men to take a large stone and roll it across the doorway of that cave. And the men are trapped inside there. You know, if he left them there, they'd just die of starvation. They wouldn't have any hope. There'd be no way out. But when you think about what happened in this cave, in verse 16 of Joshua chapter 10, these five kings had fled and hidden themselves in the cave. Verse 22, if you go down there, Joshua said, after he had already closed the cave, now he says, open the cave and bring out and open the cave and bring out these five kings. And so they did. They brought the five kings out. And in verse 24, when it was so, Joshua, they had brought out these kings to Joshua. That Joshua called all the men of Israel and said to the captains of the men of war who went with him, come near and put your feet on the necks of these kings. And you know, the kings were killed. That cave didn't save them. The cave didn't save David. The cave didn't save Elijah. God was there. God was their refuge and strength. God was the ever-present help in their time of need. And God is your refuge, your strength, your ever-present help, and mine in a time of our needs. Can you see that? Joseph, Elijah, David, the five kings, you. In these four verses, you have a very complete contrast. What was spoken by God, the utter disaster of the world. As we read on, we need never fear. The contrast that we have here is the fact that there is no safer place to be than with God. Let's read now verses 4 through 7 as we continue. There is a river, different thing, a total contrast. There's a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, not the earth being removed, not the mountains be carried into the sea. It's the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High God. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations rage and the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. The river whose streams shall make glad the city of God. Here the refuge is described in a beautiful, poetic way. Imagine a gently flowing river that you have access to. It's not a raging river, but just nurturing, and to everybody that is in contact with it, it distributes the nourishment that we need. The symbol here is of Jehovah's ever-present, eternal. He distributes the blessings and the gladness it brings to His people. You know, the river is not like a river that runs dry. It's a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God. What a beautiful picture. This abundant irrigation in the book of Psalms, chapter 1, and in verse 3. It's this man who meditates day and night on God's word. His great joy is in the word. And what does it say? It says that he shall be like a tree planted along the rivers of water, forever being nourished. And that's what we are as children of God. That's the contrast. We don't have to worry about the earth being removed. We don't have to worry about the mountains being carried into the midst of the sea and the heart of the ocean. We don't have to worry about the shaking and the quaking. God is our refuge. God is our strength. And God will be with us ever and ever, insistently, persistently present in our time of trouble. That beautiful figure that's in the mind. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 6, the waters of Shiloh that flowed softly are the symbol of divine government from God. Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 20 and 21. Jehovah is compared as a mighty river there, enriching and encircling and protecting Jerusalem, a quiet home. We can be like a quiet home. We can have the peace that surpasses all understanding. The river, the waters of the river, great and many, protecting Israel from Assyria. There's no need to imagine either this future of ours. If you look in the book of Revelation in chapter 22 with me, in Revelation chapter 22 in verses 1 and 2, and let's just read verse 2. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God like a bride adorned for her husband. God has a place prepared for us, the church. And He's going to come and give that to us. And we will not be thirsty anymore. Chapter 22. And he showed me a pure river of life, water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its streets and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. No more curse. The throne of God, the Lamb, servants of God. Chapter 22. Listen, you don't have to imagine it. It's true, and it'll be there when we need it the most. The holy place, the tabernacle, the dwelling is another thing that is being described here. This is the holy dwelling place, as some of the translators have put it, of the Most High. The Most High. That's an important phrase. Psalm 43 and 3. Oh, send your light, your truth, David says. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle, your dwelling place. And the Most High is very significant. By His power, the Most High has delivered His own city, Jerusalem, and today the church will be delivered in the future. He proves Himself to be the supreme Most High God, the ruler of the world and of the universe. None greater, the Most High. God will utterly destroy evil. Think about how He utterly destroyed Sennacherib, who thought himself to be so, so powerful in Isaiah 36 and 20. You remember that, what he said? That arrogant guy, he says, who among the gods of these lands have delivered their countries from my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem. Boy, he really thought a lot about himself. And later on, he sends a letter. Hezekiah receives this letter from him, and he reads it. And what does he do? He went up to the house of the Lord, and he spread it out before the Lord, and then he prayed, "You are God, you alone, of all the kingdoms of all the earth. O Lord, see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent in a reproach to the living God." God heard that. And he says, "You hear these words, God, save us from his hand." He turned to God the refuge. He turned to God the strength and the one that's ever present help. And what happened? 185,000 of his army, Sennacherib's army, died by the hand of the angel of the Lord. And then if you look towards the end there, verses 37 and 38, Sennacherib goes home, and he's praying to his god Nisroch, and two of his sons, Adrammelech and Sharezer, kill him. God is our strength. Truly, God is the Most High. And one thing that Sennacherib will never have, and anybody who's outside of Christ will never have today, the very thing that all God's children possess is the presence of God, the source of joy and security to his people. God is in the midst of her, it says. He shall not be moved. He's right there with us. Remember, wherever two or three are gathered, there also shall I be. And God is more powerful than man, and no man can snatch us from his hand. Think about this with me. Remember David's words, how they reveal such a great secret in Psalm chapter 16 and in verse 8. "I have set the Lord always where? Before my face. And I will not be moved. God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God." He set the Lord before his face at his right hand, and he shall not be moved. Psalm 62 verses 6 and 7 talk about God being his salvation, his glory, his strength and refuge. That's the secret. That's the secret. God is with us. He's our rock, our salvation, our refuge and our strength. And just like the church today, God spoke of it as we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28. God shall help her, the scripture there says. As we look at God shall help her just at the break of dawn. When everything seems hopeless, and all through the darkness of a night, and we wrestle with our thoughts, guess what? Because God is our refuge and our strength and an because God is ever present and a help in our time of need, because God is still there, we'll see the sun rise and we'll know that God is God, because things continue because of his power. Remember the angel and Sennacherib's army. What time was it in the morning? 2 Kings chapter 19 verse 35. It was early in the morning when those people came up and saw the corpses all dead. Every night you lay your head down on that pillow trusting God. We should be like Jesus in Matthew chapter 8. Remember that? Matthew chapter 8 verse 32, or 23 rather. Matthew chapter 8 begins talking about Jesus. He had sent his disciples. He's out in a boat with the disciples. The wind's blowing. The raging waves are coming up over the boat, and they're all afraid they're going to die. Where's Jesus? Tucked away in the front of the boat, sleeping, resting. They had to wake him up. He knew God was his refuge and strength and an ever-present help in a time of need. He knew that. He wasn't concerned about the wind and the rain and the raging sea. But the God who is our refuge and strength and an ever-present help in our time of our need, he got up and he said, "Peace be still." Let us be like Jesus. 1 Peter 5:7, we can do that when we know God and we know that he's our refuge and our strength. We can be like Jesus and we can just live every day anew. Cast all our cares upon him, knowing that he cares for us. And you'll live another day, Lord willing. The nations rage, the Bible tells us. The kingdoms were moved and he uttered his voice and the earth melted away. All the ungodliness that's going on around us, all the politics, hatred, the evil notions and the rising and falling of people around the world. They hated people then that were called Christians, and they hate people now. And people continue to fight against the church, against the righteousness, and they'll continue to blaspheme. But here's some serious things that we want to meditate on. That word Shelah, and we'll talk about that in a minute. The day of the Lord is coming. Think about that. Chew on that for a minute. Psalm 75:1-3, we give thanks to you, O Lord God. We give thanks for the wondrous works. Declare that your name is near when I choose the proper time, when I will judge uprightly. The earth and all its inhabitants are dissolved. I set up its pillars firmly. God's in charge. Our third point, God is greater. He's greater than all. He's supreme over all. And there are none like him. Come, behold the works of the Lord, verse 8 says. Remember the demon-possessed man in Mark chapter 5? Jesus goes over to Gennesaret and he finds this man and he's possessed by many demons, and Jesus casts out these demons into the swine and they run down the mountain and go into the ocean. What's the invitation? What was it that Jesus told them? He wanted to go with Jesus. Jesus cast those out. He was made whole again and he wants to go with Jesus, and Jesus tells him no. He said, go tell your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. Shouldn't we do that? Behold the works of the Lord. From the beginning, God has shown himself great, supreme over all, the creation, the establishment of the earth, the church, the resurrection from the dead of Christ, the promise of heaven, and all who are in Christ. We offer an invitation to all who enter into our lives because we want to behold the works of the Lord. We want to tell people what great things the Lord has done for us and what he will do in the future. Look at verse 9. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot with fire. God is in control. He defeats all his foes. When we think about that, you know, it makes me think of the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Wonderful study. But if we look at 11, verse 30 and following, what more shall I say? For the time shall fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, and also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, and turned to fight the armies, to flight the armies of the aliens. They were stoned, sawn in two, but God was their refuge and their strength. come behold the works of the Lord. Be still, verse 10, and know that I am God. Can you do that? And do you know what that means? And taken in context, you read about the terror, the removal of the earth, the mountains being carried and cast into the midst of the sea, the roaring waves of the ocean beating and the shaking and the violence. And he says, be still and know that I am God, exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. What God is saying is, no matter how bad it gets, I'm in control. I'm the Almighty. He says here, when he's, drop everything. Put down your armor. Remember David? He's going to go fight Goliath, and Saul puts all these stuff on him, his armor and his helmet and the big sword, and David's probably like this kid. Just drop it all and then trust God. The battle is the Lord's, isn't it? Put the armor down. Your own personal. Don't think you're in control. Let God be in control. I am is your refuge. I am is your strength. I am is an ever-present help in need. That's what he's saying here. Drop it all. Let go of your concerns. And then you will know that I am God. I rule the nations. I rule the earth. Surrender your anxieties. Be silent. Stop your striving. And you will see I am is God. Man, again, we read the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. All right. I want to have one final thought on this, and the lesson will be yours, and that is the word Shelah. If you notice, that's in verse 7, or 3, verse 7 and 11. And nobody knows 100% for sure what this particular word means. A lot of people surmise that it's a division between three thoughts, three stanzas. Most likely it's an original music notation that is indicating a pause. A pause for contemplation, a pause for meditation, a pause to think on these things about what was just sung or what was just said. You know what I hope? I hope you're pausing right now to think about how great God is. I hope you're taking it to heart that God is your refuge. I hope you're taking it to heart that God is your strength. I hope you're taking it to heart that He is ever present in a time of need. And I hope you can live with those thoughts, because that strength from God will help you every day of your life. And listen, every new year brings 365 days of uncertainty. And we are not promised tomorrow. Every day brings 24 hours of uncertainty, and we're not promised tomorrow. Every second of every hour of every single day, God's presence and power is live. It's available for the taking. Meditate on this. Shelah. Which second of which day of which year is your heart going to take its last beat? Today? Tomorrow? Next month? Will you pause right now? Take that word Shelah and contemplate that thought. Think about it. God certainly wants you to. What does the future hold? The saved in Christ, they know their future. That day, today, the things of today, the troubles of today, they don't really matter, do they? Because Psalm 46 is true. God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in need. That's true every single day of our lives. Every day we can pause and meditate on our great and mighty God and the power and the strength that we receive from Him. Today you have a choice before you. You have a choice of being in Christ to be eternally in heaven with God one day. Meditate on that. Or you can choose the second death, eternally separated from God. And you need to meditate on that. It's all up to you, and I hope you'll choose life this very day as we stand and sing.